Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Boys, put down your utensils. I want to talk to you about something real quick. If there's anything that you want to talk about, any kind of secrets, now's the time to put it on the table, okay? And if you tell me, we're not going to be mad.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I went to the petting zoo and I let the goat lick my honey.
Promise you wouldn't get mad, okay? They're being honest.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
One time I put a firefly on my butt.
Why?
To make my farts glow.
Oh, God.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I touched myself to Drew Carey on the bus, right?
God. Okay, that's enough. Stop, please.
The Fan.
Let me tell you what I want to do. Let me show you that I've been here.
That's how you start a final hour. Welcome back in. Thanks for being with us here on Portland Sports Leader 1080, The Fan. Talk some World Cup here in the final hour. Conference title odds. We'll play Neil Olshey bingo here in a moment. Blazers up by 16. Dominant performance in Summer League. Dominant. Here we go. And we got to get to LeSean McCoy here in a moment because, how about that story coming out this morning? We didn't have a chance. They haven't posted the podcast of this yet. We wanted to bring the audio to you, but we just figured we'll talk about it now briefly. But why am I blanking on his name?
Michael Bennett?
Michael Bennett, thank you. Was on on Sports Radio KJR this morning with Cliff Averill. He's now a host up there.
Yes, he is.
And he was on with Puckett and Cliff Averill this morning, and he was talking about just kind of the transition and not being a Seahawk anymore, being in Philly. And he had some quotes about he can't wait to go after Russell Wilson. He can't wait to take on the Seahawks and get after his former quarterback.
And they don't play this year.
Which was our first question, because you told me about this quote, and I said, okay, what week do they play? They don't face each other in the regular season.
They got to face each other in the playoffs if they do get there. That's a questionable one, depending on different analysts with Seattle and their chances to make the postseason. I think everybody wants to see that, don't they? I mean, maybe not Seahawk fan, but I know I want to see it this year.
Yeah, he's got the same thing with Richard Sherman, too.
Right.
Going against him.
And he'll at least get those two opportunities if he can get back in time. I believe their two matchups aren't until December anyway, the 2nd and the 16th. Mm-hmm. So he's got a lot of time to recover and get back. I like this part of sports when you get to see the player versus their former team. LeBron's returned to Cleveland. Kevin Durant's returned to Oklahoma City. A Michael Bennett returning against Seattle. Richard Sherman against Seattle. Brett Favre, his return against Green Bay. I love those kinds of storylines because either the athlete left because they were angry, mm-hmm. the team cut him, they'd given up on him, or some other dynamic played a factor into it. So from that perspective, from a sports fan, I think I would love to watch Michael Bennett go against the Seahawks and see if he could get to Russell Wilson.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Unfortunately, I don't see that playoff matchup happening this upcoming year, but could be wrong on that. But I'm with you. It's always fun to see teams go against or guys go against their former team. But Michael Bennett had that to say this morning up in Seattle. He can't wait to go after Russell Wilson when he gets the chance, and he can't wait to face the Seahawks. The other big story in the National Football League this morning was not a pleasant one, and it has to do with LeSean McCoy, Buffalo Bills running back. There was an Instagram post that was spread around, and I believe it is the friend of...
It's a friend, yeah.
Yeah, the friend of the girlfriend. Or
former girlfriend.
Former girlfriend, thank you. And she posted a picture of a two-part picture, one of the girl untouched, and then the other one, an extremely graphic picture of a girl beaten up with blood all over her face, bruises, swollen lip, and it's really nasty, really graphic. The Instagram post reads, LeSean McCoy is the devil. You are an animal. We didn't say anything about how you beat your dog Henry into kidney failure. Let's not talk about all the times my best friend had to stop you from viciously beating your son for small things like peeing in the bed. We kept quiet about your drug usage, all the illegal steroids and needles you were using, but I will not keep quiet about this. I can't believe you did this to my best friend. Your karma is going to be so real. The world needs to know what type of an animal you really are. And it is a really graphic picture.
It's Ray Rice-esque, yeah. But it looks maybe not worse because you saw the actual action, but
right.
Her face is unrecognizable.
Yeah, she can't open her eyes. She's got blood all over the face. LeSean McCoy has responded to these allegations, and the Bills are obviously aware of this. He put something up on Instagram and Twitter today saying, "For the record, the totally baseless and offensive claims made against me today on social media are completely false. Furthermore, I have not had any direct contact with any of the people involved in months."
Yeah, there's also a lawsuit against her in Georgia. She would not leave one of his houses, and he tried to get her out. This seems like an obvious, ugly situation between them, both of them. This is pretty easy to figure out, though. They'll do an investigation. Mm-hmm. If he has a witness saying where he was yesterday.
Yeah, if he hasn't had any contact or been anywhere near him in months, then obviously.
You got to imagine there's a way to track if he was around her. And if there is, then this is going to be one of the uglier ones. You're looking at serious jail. Like, what he did is going to be serious jail time. And he'll be out of the league.
Yeah, that's a nasty one to keep your eye on. He's denying it.
The tough part, too, is if he comes out and they're like, hey, it wasn't him. He wasn't there. The bad part with social media is that people, before finding out what is innocent and guilty, people can post things like the friend did of him. I'm not saying he should be exonerated of probably treating her like crap mm-hmm. and them having a bad relationship. But, you know, you basically said he killed his dog. He beats his kid and things like that. You got to be careful when you put stuff out there like that, especially if it comes out that he's innocent. Sometimes that stuff rubs me the wrong way.
Right. And there were they obviously did date. So they knew each other. And there's a lot of posts on each of their Instagrams of McCoy and the girl who was beaten up. About, you know, just being together at certain award kind of things and posting pictures of each other. So there obviously is a relationship there. You mentioned the pending litigation against her in Georgia, and now we'll have to wait and see what kind of evidence we can find out here. But it's not even just, I mean, there's a lot of allegations to get thrown out in this. Child abuse, steroid use.
Animal abuse.
Yeah. So, and not to mention, obviously, saying that he beat her up. So a lot of allegations to follow on that one. We'll keep you up to date on it. Are we ready for Olshay Bingo? Do we have, he was on NBA TV. Do you watch the starters?
Once in a while.
Okay.
I respect the hell out of those guys because, one, they love basketball probably more than me, which, you know, that's psychotic level. And two, their show started in a garage in Canada. They wanted to talk about basketball, so they put it on film and they put it on YouTube, and it got a following and
kind of a thing.
NBA TV said, hey, we'll give you a show. And now, you know, they're kind of what I would aspire to be.
Yeah, it's kind of a fun little thing. So they're actually, I think they're calling the game today on NBA TV. They're the broadcasters. So one of them had a chance to catch up with Neil. And when Neil talks, we listen. Because he drops wisdom on us. So,
get this bingo.
Let's get ready to play Neil Olshay Bingo. Let's see how many squares we can hit.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we've said, you know, we're not going to, you know, overreact, to a playoff loss. There were some contextual things there. We had injuries to Mo and Evan. They were a unique matchup for us in terms of style of play. So we didn't have as much of a foundation in terms of them playing as small with Mirotić. He obviously had a great postseason, much better than he had in the regular season. But we're not going to underreact to it either. I think we're losing a little bit of perspective that we did win 49 games and we finished third in the toughest conference and won the division outright. And I think we need to take some pride in that and understand we need to keep building on it while also having the second youngest roster in the NBA last year. So there's a great foundation there. We need to continue to add veterans. The draft was the draft. You know, we didn't have a lot of resources in free agency. We had the taxpayer mid-level. We broke that up. And now we'll go into the rest of the offseason looking to make trades to bolster, you know, our top nine guys in the rotation.
Boy, he hit like 12 of them.
He hit them all.
He hit literally all of them.
He hit them all.
Pretty impressive. I think he's doing it to troll us. I really do.
Well, I will say the question was specifically after such a great regular season with 49 wins and winning the division, to have your season end so abruptly in the playoffs, it was kind of a setup job. Now, I don't know if Neil planted that or the Blazers planted that, but for that specific answer, it was a setup job.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. Still, I don't know.
But he got it all in.
I don't. Yeah, I was gonna say he got it all in. So even if it's a setup, he still got all 12 in.
He is unbelievable.
He's Neil Olshey, man.
Second youngest roster in the league, though, folks. No need to worry. Year four of a 5-year rebuild. We're all poised for that big year next year. By the way, some good points coming into the Better You Today text line about the Instagram post with LeSean McCoy. This is also a really bad look that you allowed, if it's true, all that other stuff to happen and go unreported. You're basically,
well, yeah, I think that's another.
You're basically saying that you allowed him to beat his son. And you allowed him to murder his dog, it sounds like, beat him to the point of kidney failure. So I'd imagine the dog is dead and nothing came of that. So maybe when you see actions like that, you should report it. If this stuff is true,
yeah,
with LeSean McCoy. I thought that was a good point at the Better You Today text line. Okay, we'll get to the World Cup coming up bottom of the hour with our friend Mark Hamilton. He's got an English accent and it's going to sound really, really good. That's all that matters when you talk soccer. And we'll get ready for the big semifinal game tomorrow as well. But let's get into some conference title odds. Those are officially out in Vegas. What Pac-12 teams have the best odds at winning the conference and which bets are you placing? Talk some college football next on The Fan. I'm going to be the greatest man alive. But now, talk some World Cup, bottom of the hour. P1 Dustin says, World Cup, I'll see you at 2:40.
Hey, you might want to stick around for this one.
Mark Hamilton has an English accent, okay? That just immediately makes things more sophisticated.
I sometimes around the office am known as like the loud, inappropriate guy.
Yes, you are.
And I told Dirt after we talked to him on Friday, if I had his accent, I would be even more loud and inappropriate.
Yeah.
If I could talk like that.
What's his, what's the Harry guy's, the good one?
Harry Kane.
He was walking around the office for like a week and a half, and you would just hear random Harry Kane. Just, he would just yell it in the hallway. You're like, what is, what?
Well, Harry Kane? are both Tottenham Spurs fans.
Mark, come on, calm down a little bit.
Let's ask him who does the better English accent. Is that offensive?
Probably, but I think he'd be okay with it.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah, I'm going to say it's not offensive.
Cheerio. What word do you go with for an English accent?
Hello, Godna.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know either.
Well, I don't think anybody really does, but they say it.
I promise, English accents are fun.
The bloody queen.
We'll talk to him coming up at the bottom of the hour. Hey, we have conference title odds out around college football.
Sound like you're from London.
You sound like you're from London. That's an underrated character in that movie. The odds on favorite to win the Pac-12, breaking news, the Washington Huskies.
Bum, bum, bum.
Shocker. Shocker. The Huskies have 5-9 odds to win the Pac-12. Not going to make a lot of money if you gamble on UW this year because they are the overwhelming favorite. Then comes in USC at 4-1. Stanford is in third, 9-2 odds. And then Oregon, the Ducks, in fourth at 8-1 odds. Those are the only teams with single-digit odds. Outside of that, you start to get into higher territory. Arizona, Utah at 15-1. UCLA is at 40-1. Arizona State, Colorado, 50-1. Catlin, Washington State. I was surprised Washington State was that far down, I guess, behind some of these teams at 80-1. And then the Oregon State Beavers.
Yeah, they're the worst.
500-1 odds to win the conference this year.
I wouldn't lay $10 on that.
Now, what about $1? $1 bet.
Okay, I'll give you a dollar.
Give me a dollar.
You give me $500. Oh, there you go.
You got to take advantage of odds like that.
You know, I think the Pac-12 is going to kind of end up playing out the way that the odds are set. I know that's very cliche. Oh, Vegas nailed it again. They did. Washington, with who they return, their coach, I don't know how they're not the outright favorite the way that they are.
Absolutely.
Stanford's a pretty good wild card bet to me. I know their odds are still good to win it, but you can get some decent value for them, at least on the return, to bet them to win it. If there's going to be a team, I think, in that division, it's going to be them. That's no offense to Oregon. I think Justin Herbert's going to have a good season if he can stay healthy, and I think if he does, he is gone. But I don't know if they have enough quite yet. The receivers are still a question mark. I know they got some talented guys in the backfield led by Tony Brooks James, but I'm not sure they have that lead, that true lead back yet. You no longer have Kenai Benoit. You don't have Royce Freeman. So who fills that void? Is it by committee? Is it, you know, through the tackle style, or do you find different ways to implement them through the offense? And defensively, I like what they're returning, but ultimately I don't know if I can trust it against the upper echelon of that division in Stanford and Washington. So I think the odds are pretty close. I think the South is going to be the most entertaining, though. And I'm not even sure it's close.
Hmm.
You have USC, who's returning 13 starters on 11-3 team. Their quarterback's a big question mark, but it's either Matt Fink or JT Daniels. They've got Carr coming back. Their offensive line is really experienced. And, oh, by the way, they've still got Cam Smith at linebacker, who is going to be probably first team all Pac-12 this year. So USC, I think, has got a good shot. Clay Helton needs to continue to prove to people who he is and what he is as a head coach. But USC's got a good shot. I think Utah is really, really good value if you're going to make an outside bet.
Mm-hmm.
They're returning 14 starters. They were 7-6 last year. Their running game was down to 7th. I think they're going to jump way up from that, given what they have been traditionally. And they've got Zach Moss returning, Chase Hansen on defense. Is it Tyler Huntley? Is it going to be the Tuttle kid? You know, right now I think it's tough to decipher. But anytime you get Whittingham, it's really tough to bet against somebody like that. UCLA, I don't buy them as a viable option.
Not in year one, at least.
They only have five guys returning on offense. Their quarterback might be a freshman in the, what's his name, Thompson Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's Wilton Spate, who's almost immobile. Defensively, man, I don't know what they're going to be. I think Chip's going to need more than a year or two to get that going, if he is going to get it going in contention. And Arizona, you know, it's going to be a really good three-horse race in the South to me. Arizona, with obviously having Khalil Tate, they were the number one offense on the ground, but they were literally dead last in passing. Does that get better with Kevin Sumlin?
Mm-hmm.
Does the running game take a step back? And defensively, they haven't been that great since that year they beat Oregon with Mariota. I think this is a year they have an opportunity to take a step and be significantly better than they were last year. They have a lot of guys with playing experience. So I think the South is the more interesting of the divisions in the Pac-12 this year, just because it's a little more unpredictable. Stanford's got that shot, but I think Washington is going to find a way to maybe go undefeated in the conference.
Yeah, they're two different divisions, because I think you can make the argument that the three best teams in the conference are all in the North. I think you could look at Washington, Stanford, and Oregon, and it's kind of like that balance of power is back again.
I don't know if I'm ready to say the three.
Sure.
I do think there's a prove-it factor for Oregon, but I would for sure say the two.
Sure. The reason I would put Oregon ahead of USC is simply because of quarterback questions, and when Justin Herbert's healthy, that's an answer that Oregon already has solved. And USC, we just simply don't know. I mean, they, without Sam Darnold last year winning them some of those games, yes, on the end of the year, they had a nice record, but how many of those were Sam Darnold pulling wins out of his rear end? Or how many of those were Sam Darnold just keeping him in the mix? I think of that Texas game that they won. They had no business winning that game early in the year. It was all Sam Darnold. The Utah game, when they were down, I want to say 21-0 or big, Sam Darnold led the comeback. So without him, there's a lot of questions I have about that coaching staff and the quarterback position. The South does feel wide open, and there's a fun aspect to that, no doubt. I think Utah is a pretty good value bet. A team that played a freshman quarterback last year and is always a complete football team, and you know they're always in the mix. The concern you have is, can they finish? Because they're there every year and they just can't finish in the last 3 weeks.
They seem to have that one last game.
They're always there and they just can't do it. Khalil Tate is the explosive factor, because he might be the best player in the conference this year, and you pair him with a coach.
He might be the best player in the country.
Right, you pair him with a coach that seemingly will fit his offense perfectly. And then USC is always the most talented of the teams. But again, I don't trust their coach and I don't trust their quarterback.
The thing that someone's going to have to battle is if offensively they take that step back. So I see what you're saying, because we have examples at A&M. Are we sure we're 100% that someone's the best fit for him? Rich Rod, you say what you want about Rich Rod.
Oh, sure. Yeah, Rich Rod has a great offense for him too.
But
yeah.
Damn, the ground game that he created both at West Virginia and Arizona. That's very hard to duplicate. I think with an athlete like Khalil Tate, you're always going to have that added advantage. But I think you did see against certain teams, Oregon was actually one of them last year, despite not being upper echelon in the conference, you can gear up when you know a team can't pass. Washington, I don't know what the schedule's top of my head. So, you know, if Washington plays them, if Stanford plays them,
look at Arizona's schedule.
Oregon, if they play, whoever plays them, that might be kind of near the top half of their conference. I think anytime you have a team that cannot pass that way, you've got a great shot to win it, because you know what you're expecting. And, you know, other teams, the Colorados, the Oregon States, the maybe the Cal this year, if they don't take that step forward, some of the teams that might be on the bottom end of their division, it's a lot tougher, because they clearly don't have the athletes or the speed experience that those other programs do. Someone may very well work out well. I hope and I would expect to see an improvement in the passing game, especially if you're trying to bolster the draft stock a little bit for your career. But they were dead last. They were not an impact player on the passing game. And if you come in again, even in your non-conference and you're playing the scrubs and you can't pass, I think it's going to be an eye-opening note for other teams in this conference to take and note going forward when you play them is, hey, still can't pass the ball. They're dynamic as all hell. He's an amazing athlete. Stack the box.
Yeah, and a lot of the South-North stuff, too, I think depends on the way the schedule breaks out. I was just looking at Arizona. They do not play Washington this year.
Okay.
And they do not play Stanford this year.
There you go.
They play
the Ducks at home, don't they?
They play Oregon at home. They get USC at home.
There you go.
But they do have to go to Utah, to UCLA, and to Washington State.
You know, that Arizona, take your fandom out of it because we all have a tie to something. Arizona might be the school you circle within the conference, though, and say, and look at that schedule, and look who comes there, and look where they go. And that is a I can't miss, because you don't want to miss watching Khalil Tate play. And you're going to Utah. We always know Utah in that environment and what they can present defensively. I mentioned Chase Hansen coming back. He's the leader of that defense. And then you get teams like USC coming to the Zoo. I'm in, man. Oregon State's going to be terrible this year, and I'm well aware of that as a Beaver alum. So if there's a, you know, Oregon State's getting blown out, Arizona's starting, and the game's not over for Oregon State, I'm turning the channel because I really do want to watch a lot of Khalil Tate this year.
Yeah, and they get Houston on the road early in the year, so that's kind of a fun non-conference game. And Oregon's going to be fun to talk about in the coming weeks as we kind of gear up for football season because it feels like there's very different opinions out there of them.
Of just
this is their year, they're ready, everybody's back, and then a lot of people saying, give me a break, they're nowhere near the talent of Washington or Stanford
yet. Yeah, I'm not ready to say that. I know some people can feel that way. I think their schedule's going to help them out a lot with the start of their year, but the wild card and question mark is going to be Justin Herbert's health, and I think we know even if it's Shuck when it's not Burmeister, I don't know if we can trust any of them yet. We know we can't trust Burmeister. I want to see how they also recover in a big conference game. Who do they play start? Is it Stanford at the start?
Who, Oregon?
Yeah, one of their first Pac-12 games. Don't they have a decent opponent at the start of that?
I know they get both Oregon and Stanford at home this year. Or, excuse me, Washington and Stanford at home this year.
Yeah, I feel like there was a...
Pulling it up. Hold on. Stanford and September 22nd. Yeah. They get both Stanford and Washington early. They play them two of their first three conference games. Or Stanford, right. Then they're at Cal, and then they get Washington at home.
And I know it's not great because we're the new partner with Oregon. Those first three games are going to be garbage. I mean, they're going to be absolute blowouts.
Oh, the non-conference games will be blowouts.
They're going to roll right through it. So they get... They get a great test at the start of the season. And I think that's going to be a big indicator for some Duck fan, not all, but some, because of how ugly that Vegas Bowl was. That was an opportunity where a lot of people thought it's a rallying cry around a guy and they just got punched in the mouth. They could never recover. You don't base his entire coaching career on that one game, but I think it's going to be a real watermark for them when they go play at Stanford, see how you stack up. I'm not ready to say they're close though. Herbert could have an amazing season, but there's a lot of question marks with this team that the only way to answer them for me are going to be to watch them play some of those top level teams in this conference.
They got to be at full strength when they do it.
Right.
Just to point to the differing opinions, we have the most votes at Dirt and Spring on Twitter. Of course, I poll questions. People love the 8-1 odds for Oregon, 43%. Take those bets. And then we get texts like this at the Better You Today text line. Nice try, Dirt. Oregon isn't even near the top four of the Pac-12. And right, but outside of the quarterback, they have nothing on their roster.
So if you were to label the top four right now in the all-too-early rankings on a July 10th, you would go Washington, Stanford, presumably USC for most people. That fourth one might be up. It might be Utah, might be Arizona, might be Oregon. Am I missing one?
Not that's in that conversation, no. There's
outside,
nobody else you would put there.
Yeah.
As of now. So we'll see if things change. But conference titles odds are out. Those are a lot of fun to talk about, a lot of fun to look at. And we got some of those up at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter that you can go check out. Okay, let's see if we can wrangle down Mark Hamilton. See if we can find him walking around the hallways, get his English accent in here, and talk some World Cup, huh? We'll do that next. But first, here's Swag with SportsCenter. Hey, welcome back in 236. Fun to get some trash talk going at the Better You Today text line 55305. Sprague, you have met cocky giant fan Dirt.
I think the whole world is right. cocky Giant fan dirt.
So yeah, it's a thing.
Laments how much he sure. hates the Giants because of you.
It's a bit of an animal. There's no doubt about it.
I've also met cocky Duck fan dirt.
That's right. It's coming back this year. Just wait.
Okay.
But now we have, can we introduce you, cocky England fan, yes. Mark Hamilton. Mark, how are you today?
Yeah, I don't think I fall into the cocky category at all.
It's, who's going to win the World Cup?
Well, England are, obviously. But that's not being cocky. That's being realistic.
See, I love it. That's perfect. So how you're feeling great. Like, this is a different England team for you.
Look, here's the deal. England haven't been into a semi-final of the World Cup since 1998.
Damn.
Hold on. No, it wasn't 98. France last won in 98. It was when 90. So okay. It's been a long time. And since then, it's been miserable to have been an England fan.
Mm.
I mean, horrible.
Right.
The Euros. It was horrible. We lost to Iceland.
A lot of people lost to Iceland, though. Iceland had no run.
Listen, we lost to Iceland. More people, I think, you know, that's just not acceptable. Plus, you had an England coach, Roy Hodgson, who was having Harry Kane take the corners and the free kicks.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a nitwit. Right?
Yeah.
Who exactly. does that?
Exactly.
Your key striker is taking the corners. So, you know, a combination of bad coaching and just picking the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've got something to be excited about. Great young team, momentum. The country's going nuts. Have you seen the videos on YouTube?
Yeah, yeah, the beers that are flying. Yeah,
that's
place.
More fun than watching the games, actually.
Is, yeah. It really is.
You know, keep one eye on that and then another one eye on the game. There's your entertainment for the day.
Okay, so you walk in, I say, hey, are you nervous about Croatia? You immediately shoot it down. Then they play France and you also don't care who they play. Why such confidence?
Because when you're playing at that level, it doesn't matter who you play. You've got to play them anyway, right? It's like in the draw and people, oh, you know, who do you fear more going into this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, who do you fear more, Argentina or Sweden? Argentina were hopeless in this World Cup.
Yeah, they were.
So it just depends on the day. You can't fear anyone more than anyone else,
right.
Other than what's the momentum going. And just watching the France-Belgium game today, one would have thought, wow, Belgium looked great, right?
Right.
You know, I thought Belgium
early
was
on, especially, yeah. They were dominating.
Eden Hazard was by far the best player on the field. De Bruyne is brilliant. But, you know, Lukaku did nothing.
No.
Absolutely.
Missed a header opportunity, too.
Right, right. So it's like you see that and you go, okay, well, don't fear anybody.
Yeah.
Who on the French side... You know, Mbappe's great.
Mbappe's years
great.
Yeah.
Pickford. Now, I'm a Spurs fan, and I'll come out
San
and say.
San Antonio?
No, Tottenham.
Oh, gotcha.
Right. I'm a Tottenham sure. Hotspur okay. fan. I've always had a question over Lloris in goal, who's the French goalkeeper. Pickford, through this tournament, has been better. So, okay, so right there and there, England have the better keeper. Right now, as in terms of how they're
right,
playing.
Right,
in terms of how they're playing. Who else on the French side? Mbappe, fantastic. French have got some good people in defense. They've got Griezmann, obviously. And but up front, Olivier Giroud, useless.
Useless.
Useless. Remember, I'm a Tottenham fan, and for the longest period of time, he's played for Arsenal.
Wouldn't you say their momentum's
useless.
Pretty good right now?
What's that?
Wouldn't you say France's momentum is probably just equal to England's right now?
Exactly the same as they were in 98. Started real slow, you know, struggled to get through the group. They've picked it up. Yeah, they're strong. If that does happen and it's an England-France final, that will be a great game.
Yeah. So can I kind of generate some trash talk here? Because we
go for it.
We mentioned earlier in the show that we were going to have you on.
The
world-famous Mark Hamilton. He's going to come and talk some World Cup with us. My co-host here, in talking about that game tomorrow, immediately responded with the comment of, he's rooting for Croatia.
Yeah.
Who?
Croatia, yeah.
All right, go for it. You know, good luck.
I lost the last time I said this.
Yeah, you were rooting for Sweden, too.
He did. He trash talked you in the hallway. He's got something against your people. I don't know what it is.
All right.
No. I had money on the line for the last one.
That's all right. You know,
some people like losing money.
You just go for it.
If you're in a sock, because
you're back in the wrong horse.
Right. You're pretty vocal around the office. Let's say I take you to World Cup right now for the final.
Yeah.
Are you a psychotic England fan? Are you painting your face and you're like in people's grills?
No.
Okay.
Not the face painting and the.
Yelling at people?
Have you ever gone to a World Cup? Have you ever been?
Actually, yeah. And it was the year I went to a couple of games when it was at Stanford.
Oh, really?
And England didn't qualify. That was being 94.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are you excited, I'm assuming, for 8 years from now then? When we get the North America bid, are you going to go?
Yeah. It's just unbelievable. But, I mean, you've got to be confident.
I hear that.
You believe.
But see, I don't, maybe
we've been in the wilderness for so many years really hopeless teams.
And I don't know if this speaks.
You don't
more.
Understand.
Dude, USA's not in it. I get it. USA has been irrelevant in this thing.
Okay, but we're great in the last tournament.
Yeah. Great. I mean, what's that?
For us.
Look, I was at the Thirsty Lion when I think it was two tournaments ago when England and USA were in the same group. Remember that?
Yeah.
It was two tournaments. Because I'm at the Thirsty Lion. The game's at like 6 in the morning. I swear I must have been the only England fan in the place.
Just one guy.
Can you imagine what it was like when the England goalkeeper, remember, he let it slip through his fingers. Right. It was that goal.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Suddenly, all the attention was on me. all the you know, insults. And it was just like, oh, my goodness. Next time, I'm going to go to a place where at least some other English fans.
There you go. This was fun. Well, we can't wait for tomorrow. We're excited for it. What time? The game starts at 11 again tomorrow?
Yeah, so I'll have 10. To come in here and celebrate with you.
Come in, pop in, celebrate, bring the champagne if you want. you can smack talk him for losing another bet tomorrow.
Have you adopted any other sports in America? You know, outside of soccer, but like, have you followed, you know, American football?
Yeah. Before I moved to Portland, I lived in San Francisco. I used to go to every Niners home game.
Oh, hell
when they were at Candlestick.
Yeah.
What was it? Pole? I don't know. We did this, you know, the tailgating thing. It was like, everyone meet at pole C. That was some pole in the parking lot, apparently.
So
and I go to Timbers games, obviously.
Yeah, oh, hell yeah.
What else?
Are you into the Blazers and not basketball at all?
I enjoy watching the last 3 minutes of every basketball game.
Hey, I can appreciate that.
It gets really exciting, the last 3 minutes. The rest seems to be okay.
Yeah. Back and forth.
Let's wait till the last 3 minutes. You know,
right. Turn it on, see what happens here.
What else? What other things could I have embraced sporting-wise?
Well, because we were debating if we should ask you, is it offensive if we ask you to judge an English accent contest? Is that offensive?
No, not at all. Oh, by the way, the other thing I've gone into lately is college football, because Greg Glover, who does mornings on 94.7, has really got me into the college ball stuff.
Who's your team? Okay.
I don't really have one.
You just like watching him.
I kind of have to sort of go along with Greg, who's from Alabama, you know.
Roll Tide.
Yeah, so I kind of like watch because of him. But I suppose, I don't know. I don't really have a college team.
You should be an Oregon State fan. They're kind of like the Queens Park Rangers.
They're in the wilderness right now.
They're really
in the
wilderness.
It's going to mean a lot when they get out of the wilderness.
But then I've got to be careful because you're going with one Oregon team over another.
Right.
I don't feel I can do that.
They want to build the animosity.
But so then I'm trying to think, okay, what is the most sort of English-sounding college football that make the Bulldogs?
Go Fresno State or Georgia.
Yeah.
That's very English, right?
So go for something like that.
That's a pretty good one.
So should I do that or I've been looking at a list.
Right. Whoever you go with, just stick with it and never change.
Or should it be Stanford because I lived in the Bay Area for
the
a while?
You could.
There's got to be a more English one than Bulldogs.
We'll have to come up with the most English mascot in college.
Well, give
football.
Us some soccer mascots right now, real quick.
Well, they're just sort of named after the logo or the team. You know, it's like, you know, Tottenham Spurs.
Yeah, right.
It's
kind of not much creativity.
They're not really into mascot names.
You don't have any Toronto Raptors over there?
No.
People wondering, why are you named after a raptor?
It's the Gunners.
The Gunners, okay.
The Gunners, yeah. Okay.
The arch enemies. Yeah. The team that Giroud played for.
Think about
before he traded over to Chelsea, another never mind.
I love this.
All the teams, and as a Tottenham fan, it's like... But here's the interesting thing, though. Had Belgium and England met in the final? I mean, like 8 Tottenham players in the World Cup final.
Really?
Yeah, the entire Belgium defense.
That's incredible, yeah.
Yeah, the entire Belgium defense. Huh. And, you know, Harry Kane.
Yeah.
You know, all right. Yeah, so there you go.
Thanks
well,
for the
good
education.
Luck tomorrow.
I'll come back and celebrate tomorrow.
Celebrate tomorrow. Yeah. We're excited to watch it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Mark Hamilton of 94.7.
Cool,
great
thank
stuff.
You.
We'll close out the show next on The Fam. Shaggy's a good way to end it. Welcome back in. Thanks again to Mark Hamilton for stopping by. I do find it funny. Sometimes soccer guy in the building will talk World Cup and stuff, and they'll stop by and share their thoughts. And we always just kind of play off that we know what they're talking about.
Oh, and they buy it too.
They
they're
do.
Like, oh,
they just figure
me.
We're on a sports station, so therefore we know a lot about soccer. And we just kind of shake and nod. And
of course.
Oh yeah, he's great. That
I would say about
that guy's good.
75% of what he just talked about, I had no knowledge of.
He was around. He said some name of a French defenseman, I believe, and was like, "Well, of course he's good." Like,
and I
oh,
said,
well,
yeah,
of course,
duh,
it's that guy.
Can't be an idiot.
Who, Griezmann?
Yes, no
Griezmann.
Clue.
Where's number 7 for France? Come on, boys. Get with the program.
No, that's all right.
Number 7. I'll just keep him as number 7.
It was an exciting game today, though.
It was a good game.
You know, 1-0.
It's a good match.
Belgium had a lot of chances early. That's my hot take on it, and they did not capitalize on their scoring opportunities.
I know you can identify with this because, well, this is kind of who you are. I do think there's a bigger percentage of fans that get more nervous the longer their team advances into a stage of something. Whereas people like him and you, your team gets deep and you basically say, oh, we're going to win. No chance.
Well, what fandom are you talking about with me? Oregon or the Giants?
I don't think it matters. I've seen you go into a national title game against Cardale Jones and tell us they were going to win by 3 touchdowns.
They should have won that game by 3 touchdowns.
I've seen you go into a World Series and rightfully so proclaim, oh, Rangers, Tigers, and Royals, cute. Get out of here.
Yeah, that's true.
So in the two biggest ones in your life, and not to dismiss the Blazers here, but in the championship scenario.
The Blazers are relevant in that conversation.
You have been very cocky fan, whereas sure. I think if I were in the other end, let's take the 49ers in the Super Bowl against the Ravens, I couldn't even be around anybody because I was so damn nervous.
The cockiness would have come out if they won, though. The arrogance, if they would have won, it breeds it. Once you get that championship, it stokes the fire inside.
But here's the great thing. As great as the Ducks run was, they hadn't won a national championship, and you still had that confidence.
They beat Florida State by 30 points, okay? They had a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback.
They did.
That was their year, okay? That was the season.
And then
people don't forget.
What is his name?
Ezekiel Elliott ran
Ezekiel
for
Elliott.
742 yards on him.
Wore a sports bra and just ran all over you guys. I'd never seen you as defeated as after that game.
Yeah, that one was rough. That one, I still haven't gotten over that one.
I remember looking around going, I got to do a show with this guy. I don't even know if he wants to talk right now. And we had to try to break down the game reaction guys. And you're sitting there like, damn, I cannot believe we just lost to Cardale freaking Jones.
That one was tough. Let's get to the Coors Live poll results of the day, shall we? At Dirt and Sprague on Twitter, we asked, how many baseball games do you watch per season, whether it be your team, national games, or both? The number one answer was watch regularly, 50 to 75 games per year. Some people, 29% said once in a blue moon, I'll watch a game. 28% say you wait until October. And 15% of you are diehards and say you watch 100-plus games every single year.
There you go.
Conference title odds are out. What Pac-12 North team are you willing to lay money on to win the conference? 44% of you biasedly said Oregon at 8-1 odds. 34% said Washington 5-9. And then Stanford got 17% of the vote at 9-2 odds. And then in the South, USC was the number one getter. Vote getter 58% said give me those 4-1 odds. For the Trojans, if Carmelo Anthony goes to the Rockets, what does it do for Houston's chances? 51% of you say they get worse.
I actually voted that one.
Yeah, 40% said no impact either way. 9% of you believe it's a great fit and a great addition for the Rockets. So we got some Carmelo fans in the area.
Do we remember he got D'Antoni fired?
Yeah, that happened.
Do we want to remind folks of that?
Happened.
Got him fired in New York.
And then we asked probably the most important poll question of the day. What's the best stripper name in Portland?
Sounds a pretty good one.
Naughty Annie No-No. Overwhelming 48% favorite.
Oh.
Toxic Suicide took home 26% of the vote. Sapphire got 18. Katara-tastic, only 8% of the vote.
I don't know, man. I kind of like the tastic part.
And it's two words, by the way. It's not one word. It's tastic with a capital T.
You mean it's two names.
It's two.
It's name like Billy Bob.
Name so good, they named him twice. There you go. Good little show today, folks. If you miss any of it, Les Schwab Tires podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it.
We didn't even get to Cliff Kingsbury sleeping with Britney Spears today.
We did not.
Hit me, baby, one more time.
That happened.
Yeah.
Also, we did not talk about Gordon Hayward quite possibly being the most disappointed dad of all time.
And you will find out why I'm not having another kid.
Thanks for being a part of our Tuesday, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one is next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.